Simple Minds promised you a miracle. Good thing about Ed Wellman, Jill, is, as we know, fantastic sort of assistant with respect to, obviously, the fabulous Lincoln-inspired setup. Did lots of stuff there, went on for John Boyne, sort of various other things. He actually reads his emails. You know, I mean, last night, there he is, he's doing his second show, actually, and he's Drive Time, Ed Wellman, Drive Time. I sent him an email saying, it's called The Cone Zone. Why don't you brand it as Cone? And he slipped that in there. He got
straight on it, I was.
Very, very impressed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Marvellous. Indeed, the show that Jeff says he regularly listens to, or will regularly listen to now. Penny Evans has written in via Facebook, we have a reduced Shakespeare company at the Buxton Festival every year. Yes, you have a reduced festival, a reduced Shakespeare company, not the reduced Shakespeare company. By the point there. So far, I've seen Hamlet performed in 10 minutes. Very funny. Thank you, Penny. Marvellous. Always good to have Penny Evans on the case. No news from Katie Grimason or various other folk. But I'm sure when they hear about the fabulous Everything Bublé, enjoy Everything Bublé, the number one tribute act of the cheeky, soulful, multi-platinum phenomenon that is Michael Bublé, what's not to love, Jane Southall? It's Everything Bublé.
It is, or as we call him at the showground, Mr. Bubble.
Nice. Tribute act, call him Mr. Bubble. Exactly. Yes. It's very good. With his fun sense of humour and romantic touch, Everything Bublé, Bubble, embodies the very essence of the true star himself. With his cool, calm and collected attitude, he will have you believing you're actually watching the real thing.
Correct.
It's amazing. That's 7:30 p.m. Tickets and snip at £26.50 for an evening of live entertainment. And a two-course dinner.
And a glass of Buck's Fizz when you arrive.
Lord, it's like, it's Eurovision in every sense of the word. I haven't forgotten, we will be playing the Eurovision winner later in the show, because after all, I think they deserve to. Denmark, did you catch it, Jill?
I didn't, know. I don't have a television, I'm afraid.
Oh, neither did I, but I listened to it on Radio 2, BBC Radio 2. Other stations are available, obviously. and then actually sort of accessed it on YouTube afterwards, really. And I think Bonnie Tyler didn't quite have the energy. I think something was wrong, whether it was the Botox or something. Something was wrong. It just didn't quite work. But anyway, life continues. Did you watch Eurovision, Jane?
I didn't watch it, but I did hear the track the next day that won, and I thought it was good, actually.
It's good, yeah. So we'll wait and hear what sort of folk think about that as we work through that. Of course, this is just something of what, as the fabulous Amelia Highfield was keen to stress to our colleagues in Nottinghamshire. I don't know why she's here to do the Nottinghamshire show. Spent all the time talking about the Lincolnshire show, bless her. You know, everybody we interviewed, whether it's the ladies in pigs, you know, say, oh yeah, come over to the Lincolnshire show. That's what, yeah, we are. We're going to be there, sort of thing. You know, there's something happening every week at the Lincolnshire Showground. In fact, you can follow Lincolnshire Showground at Link Showground. Just go to lincolnshireshowground.co.uk. You must be very pleased to see the kind of events like this coming through on a regular basis.
Yeah, because what we want to do, we want to have different sort of events, actually, to get different people to the showground and the Epic Centre, because we believe that Lincoln people should be proud of the Epic Centre and the showground. We have comedy curry nights, we've got Everything Bublé, and hopefully then they'll want to see what else we do and what else we've got to offer.
Jill, does that appeal to you? I mean, you've just come out of being part of the team, or we're both part of the team, really, of the fabulous Lincoln-inspired events that, again, was very much to get this sense of joy and happiness about being in Lincoln.
I mean, I think what we found with Inspired was people were so keen to have the opportunity to engage with cultural things, with musical things, with theatre, with just general social things where they can get together as a group of people and be part of something happening in Lincoln. So what you're doing is marvellous.
And, of course, let's not forget that the Lincolnshire Showground did actually host one of the events for WIRE, Women in Rural Enterprise, which astonishingly even let Ed Wellman join Peter Kerr in, and they didn't have to go in drag. Fantastic.
I know, they allowed two of us, two blokes, in.
There we go. And you got out alive, obviously.
I certainly did, yes. Sarah Bullimore was there. I think that was
she's not a bloke.
Add-on,
you know?
Event.
So. And Peter is a very cool bloke, isn't he? He's very laid back.
Very,
very
nice.
I think
he'd
be quite a safe companion.
Almost metrosexual, really, you know, so in terms of that sort of, you know, for a Scottish bloke, I would say. Anyway, Peter, we appreciate you in every sense of the word. Just talking about, obviously, that event and various other factors. Ed, you were at the Lincolnshire Showground yesterday.
Just yesterday, yes.
Yes, you were waxing lyrical about the calmness, the stillness, the event that's actually there, as you'll be going into your role as one of the press stewards there, assisting Alan Stennett.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to say it's the calm before the storm, because I have to be careful what I say about weather at country shows. I did promise Adrian Johnston that the weather would be fine and fabulous for Nottinghamshire, and it almost was. Bit of rain, but yeah, yesterday it was wonderful in the Epic Centre, just to sit there and to look out and see your vast empire there, Jane.
Pretty it is an empire, let's face it,
we've got
Jane,
over 200 acres, haven't we, really? So it is a big, and it is great, to, especially when the sun's shining.
I see you very much in that role of sort of empress of Lincolnshire. In fact, I think actually, you know, I know we've talked about nomenclature and various other things beforehand, but I think maybe we need to sort of switch away from just being director of Lincolnshire Agriculture Society. Forget chief executive officer, you know, empress of Lincolnshire Agriculture
Means
Society.
I'd have to get some more business cards.
And another logo.
And another logo.
Get Amelia onto it. She's, you know, she's got time.
She'd be sorted on that thing. Coming up on the show today, we've still got Michelle Monroe's classical Matt Monroe piece to actually work through. We're going to be finding out what Rupert Baker is actually doing when he's on location. Actor on tour. Still on tour, of course, with the Ellis Peters classic Virgin in the Ice, featuring Brother Cadwell. Cameron Tilbury will be live from Nashville with another top tune, which actually features a Leslie Curtis. This week, so Leslie Curtis is back with us again, and of course we've got Phil Leonis talking about the excitement that he's been doing in Hollywood pre-producing the Lady Killers, getting things together, but allowing for the fact that tickets presumably for Michael Bublé still available, just about?
Yes, they are, yes.
That's okay, otherwise we'd just advertise something which is a,
nah, and it's this Friday, just in case we haven't
exactly
given a date.
It's just got Friday the 24th of May, this Friday, and you can go and enjoy everything Bublé. Now, presumably, is there a box office to then go to, or would they book it online and pick them up there? What's the official line?
You just book it online, and you get your ticket and confirmation there, and then online, really. And then we normally make contact with you, because there is a menu choice, just to see what choice of menu they would require for the evening.
They just think of everything. It's just very impressive.
What's his name? What's his what is everything Bublé's name? Does he have a name?
Oh, his real name?
Mm. Probably a bit like the Lone Ranger. He just is Michael.
Does he keep that a secret? It's all part of the mystery, isn't it? We mustn't ask these things.
No,
sorry.
He looks a bit
turn my microphone
James
off. I'll be quiet.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, but he died a good few years ago.
It can't be him, then.
Unlikely to be James Dean.
No, it could be his grandson.
I just refer to him as Mr. Everything, because, you know, Mr. Everything Bublé.
Go with that.
You know,
we'll
his
go.
Parents probably criticised. You know, they probably christened him Everything, and that's what we got.
I think it's...
Just haven't met you yet.
And you can hear more of that material. I wonder, do you think he'll play that, Jane? Do you think he might sing Haven't Met You Yet?
Oh yes, I'm sure he will.
It is a classic Michael Bublé number, after all. It's tributes in every sense of the word. Okay, now, if we're looking at speed reading, and we're looking at the World Speed Reading Championship, 6 times winner of the World Speed Reading Championship is indeed the fabulous Anne Jones. Obviously, we said earlier that, Jill, you have a connection with an important company that's responsible for an awful lot of books. It's with a
we
W, ends in an S.
It's a
bookstore. You know, you might recognise what it's all about. And clearly we've come out of Lincoln Inspired. Jane, as Chief Executive Officer, Director of the Lincolnshire Agriculture Society, you have presumably a lot of reading to work through at various times, etc.
Yes, I do, yes.
Are there times you just think, I wish I could just speed through this? I mean, it's a bit like, you know...
Probably. Sometimes I think I skim and pick words up, but I don't know about speed reading. Oh. Yeah, it would be good.
And Ed, we've spoken regularly about the importance of books in higher education.
Exactly, and I'm wading my way through McNay's Essential Law for Journalists at the moment.
Essential Law for Journalists.
And I'm trying not to read it too fast, in fact, because I'm trying to pick up the minute details. But I'm hoping that Anne can tell me some ways that I could implement in the next 12 hours.
Can you help? I mean, here we have Ed, 12 hours until he actually has his law exam. Can speed reading help him, or is he a lost cause?
I don't think anybody's a lost cause. I think it's interesting what you're saying, because what Ed is trying to do is he's trying to sort of memorise the details. But the way experts think and the way his lecturers will be thinking will be to look at it from principles. They organise their ideas around principles, then the supporting ideas, and then the details. Students tend to want to learn the mass of details, and the difficulty with that is it's an awful lot to memorise at one go. But if you sort of start with a principle, you think about the supporting ideas and you attach the details to them, you've got a kind of a pyramid, and that's easier to process, and it's also easier to organise the information around it.
Mm. And I've prepared myself 65 pass cards here where I've tried to do exactly that, and I'm afraid to say for the first time in my life I've taken a pen to my textbook, which seems like an awful thing to do, but I've had to do it to underline the important bits. But I've taken your advice on board. Thank you very much.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that you've got two issues there. One is content, and obviously you need to know the content thoroughly, but the other issue is the skills, and the skills that they're going to be testing you will be things like, you know, categorizing information, organizing it into most important, least important, deciding what's, you know, an advantage or a disadvantage, most certain to least certain, that kind of thing. So it's actually, you know, mobilizing the information and reordering it that's quite important in exams.
And what was it about reading things faster than average that suddenly you made the deduction that you wanted to go faster and faster? Because, I mean, just share with us some of the records in terms of how you actually become, you know, 6 times winner of the World Speed Reading Championships.
Well, there is a sort of town called Leicester, not too far away from you in Lincolnshire.
Yes.
And at the time I was working at a college called Regent College, and I was a Section 11 teacher, and my role was to raise achievement at the college. I became interested in mind mapping as a method of a study technique, really. And I trained with an organisation which teaches people about mind mapping, speed reading and memory techniques, which is, you know, through the author, Tony Buzan, who's published by the BBC. Anyway, I went back to the college where I worked, and I'd picked up the speed reading on the course, and I hadn't really thought very much about it. I just used it to get through my workload during the week, and at the weekend I'd go to the library and pick up a book I wanted to read. Usually while the family were watching football, I'd sort of read my book, get them a cup of tea at half time, and finish reading it in the second half. But, you know, I never really thought of myself as particularly fast. And the first Mind Sports Olympiad came about at the Royal Festival Hall. I raised money for a bunch of kids that I'd been sort of working with at lunchtime. So I'd run a brain club for them, and they were playing chess and Chinese chess and so various other games. So they got sponsorship to go, and I went along to accompany them. And one of them said, "Why don't you enter something, miss?" And since at the Mind Sports Olympiad, anybody could enter any of the competitions, provided, you know, paid your fee and so on. So I had a look at the long list, decided on speed reading, and I won my first speed reading competition, World Championship, entirely by chance, just because I'd taken the kids along to take part. And one of the kids won the Mahjong medal.
Which is wonderful. I'm also fascinated by the fact that you... set a new speed reading record, reading Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. How long did it actually take you to work your way through the J.K. Rowling text?
Oh, I can't remember. That actually is a while ago. I think it's about 40-odd minutes, something like that, 43 minutes.
So 43 minutes what is probably about 800 pages, 900 pages, Jill?
It was
4,251 words per minute. It was over a quarter of a million words long. But, I mean, essentially Harry Potter's different from a speed reading competition, because in speed reading competitions at the Mind Sports Olympiad, you had an unpublished novel to read, and you were scored by speed in words per minute times the percentage of questions you answered correctly. So they were recall questions, open questions, and it was a very tough competition, a bit like an exam nightmare where you go into the exam room and you know nothing about the subject you're going to be tested on. The actual Harry Potter one was done the way a lot of the records for speed reading were originally done, which was, you know, you read an unpublished novel, whatever it is, and you talk to people about the novel afterwards to demonstrate your knowledge. And in so doing, I sort of beat the then record, which was 3,850, which was held by an American, and I became the British world record holder.
Now, next week we'll be featuring our Lincolnshire author Karen Maitland, a medieval expert, a whole range of things, etc. I'm currently working my way through the Falcons of Fire and Ice, moving relatively quickly through the text, etc. the retention side of things, do things sort of stand out? I think I've probably been blessed with the fact I can read reasonably quickly, but are there always ways in which you can actually improve and just speed through? Are these techniques that can work for academics as well as folk who just actually want to read more books?
I think it depends what you want to do. With everything, it's the purpose for reading, and you use the appropriate memory technique for the type of reading that you're doing. So, for example, if you wanted to sort of really remember that particular book as you were reading it, what you would do would be try and create a mental movie of it as you read it. And the more vividly you could recreate it in your imagination, the more memory places you would have to pull the recall out. So if you were using visual imagery, sound imagery, you know, imagining the sense, the movement and so on, creating your own virtual reality in your head, then it makes it easier to recall. What tends to happen with a lot of books is that if people are reading them over a period of time, they sometimes forget, you know, who an early character was when they were introduced in the book and so on, because memory sort of obviously fades over time. So a good thing to do, and what I tend to do if I'm sort of going to a book club meeting, is that I will sort of, you know, maybe read the book in a couple of sittings, you know, not necessarily all that fast, maybe in about an hour and a half in 2 45-minute sessions. But then I'll take another 45 minutes to create a mind map of it, so that I've got a, you know, notes of the book, so that I can talk to people about it without worrying about whether I've forgotten some character's name or a particular incident in the book.
I suggest that this is a wonderful way of also training the mind, so that when you start thinking about degenerative problems, Alzheimer's and such like, it can actually probably keep that at bay as well, perhaps, keeping the mind exercised as a muscle, keep yourself working?
Well, Alex, I think you must be a bit of an expert on this, because, in fact, my understanding is that, you know, it's very good to set ourselves mental challenges and problems of all different sorts. So, yeah, I don't think it particularly, you know, I think, you know, if you did Sudoku or things like that, are supposed to be particularly good as well. So it really is. I have a lot of fun just trying different things out, and I'm sure you do.
Well, I like to say doing 4 hours of radio every week actually sort of helps exercise the mind up to a point.
Yeah,
there we
are.
Jane, thoughts and questions from yourself?
No, I find it interesting. I did think, you know, perhaps you read it fast and then don't retain the information. But from what you're saying, that's not the case. And there was something I did look on the website, something to do with being used for children with dyslexia, is that correct? Or?
Yeah, well, in actual fact, there's different sorts of speed reading training. As I've sort of said, the kind I use is, it's a traditional one. It's one that's been used for generations. The explanations of it change, but there are different types and different methods of teaching speed reading. They're not all the same. The one that I use involves using a guide, and yes, it does make a difference to dyslexics for a number of reasons. One is that if having problems, you know, when you're reading, what's actually happening is that our eyes are making little stops called fixations along the line. When our eyes stop, that's when the seeing part of reading is taking place, and as soon as our eyes move, the brain suppresses the information so the image doesn't appear blurry. So, you know, in actual fact, it's quite difficult for dyslexics to make those fixations and track along the line. Certain types of dyslexics, I should say, because we're talking about the different sorts, but for some dyslexics that can be quite difficult. So as soon as you introduce a guide to pull the eyes along the line, you make a big difference to those dyslexics, and they're able to sort of, you know, read a bit more easily, and it does make a massive difference in all sorts of different ways. You know, in fact, one of the people I was training today actually works with dyslexics, and he's going to use the techniques that I taught him with the young people that he works with.
Right, I mean, the gift of reading is phenomenal, and we don't appreciate just how good it is, actually.
It is a lot of fun teaching it, and, you know, it really is great, making a difference to people. And it's just one of the things that we can all do to, you know, sort of make life a little bit better. Pretty much like the information you give on the show, Alex.
Oh,
you know, I'm sure it sounds really interesting. You manage to assemble a wonderful bunch of people, experts in different areas, to talk about the different things that they're interested in. And, of course, it makes life so much more interesting for the people listening.
Well, Anne, we appreciate that. We know you've actually listened to some of the podcasts and Podbean scenario from that perspective and listened to some of Ian Lennox's pieces on there, so that's great news. But as we like to say, our Phil Leonard says on our behalf...
Of course, one of the big stars on The X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is...
The Truth Is Out There.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
Of course, he's working on a completely different film now and a different line entirely. I was looking for a different jingle, but life continues in its own merry way. Honestly, you think it was as bad as Chris Evans on The Breakfast Show. How did it feel, Anne, to actually be the mystery guest for Mr. Evans?
Well, when I was a mystery guest, it was just amazing because I got a very early phone call and they said, well, could I do it? And I had no idea about it. It felt like...
Oh, would you? You'd be listening to Siren FM instead, you know. Why would you tune into that other station? Goodness
sakes. Yeah, well, this was, you know, before I'd even woken up. They kind of rung about 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that. Anyway, I had to promise not to tell anybody, you know, in case it leaked out in the Twitter sphere. It was amazing. Chris is a very good interviewer, I have to say. I mean, as you are. He asks very insightful questions. And, of course, you're kind of on your toes when you're working with somebody like that because you're never really quite sure what they're going to say next.
Well, it's the uncertainty that keeps life interesting. That's what we like to say, Anne. A reminder, it's speedyreader.co.uk, the go-to site to find a whole heap of other goodies. But as you've made your debut on the Midweek Drive, Anne, we've got a couple of crucial questions to ask you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
I've been absolutely amazed and astounded at the kind of things that you actually have on the show, Alex.
I think that's a bit harsh to refer to Ed in that sort of way, but never mind.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Ed. I'm kind of losing it a bit here.
It's all right. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Too much excitement for one day.
So I take it then we can prevail upon you to actually join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of speedy reading matters and various other things as well.
Well, I should hope so. And I hope you enjoy that book that you started. It sounds really interesting.
All of Karen Maitland's books, I must admit, are wonderful. We've covered the Gallows Curse and the Plague scenario. Company of Liars, exactly. So great stuff, and she's a great writer. And do tune in next week. You can actually sort of access all sorts of things from that point of view. Anne Jones, a round of applause, I think, for Anne Jones. Yep, absolutely. And whilst we're thinking about Lincoln Inspired...
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Walking down Frith Street, dawn is creeping up on me. Some girl's tears in